You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the H2P Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here on a Sunday, breaking down some Pitt basketball news. Now, it's more so about what I wrote about on DKPittsburghSports.com. We got to talk to Justin Champagne 2 weeks ahead of the NBA draft, which is scheduled for July 29th. And I wanted to break down just some of the parts of the conversation that I thought were the most interesting parts over this show. Now, it's crazy because I just did a podcast last week about Cam Johnson and his impact in the NBA and his impact. You know, he played from Old Lady Sacred Heart, so he's from, you know, Western PA. He's a WPIAL representative out there, and the Suns. As you're listening to this, they will have played Game 5. I'm recording this before Game 5 has been played, but it's a huge opportunity for the Suns to win their first NBA title. They haven't been there since 1993. Chris Paul and all the other storylines there with them against Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's a great, great NBA Finals series going on right now. Lots of fun to watch. But the bottom line, we're talking about Justin Champagne, is he's trying to get to that level. And as I've covered Justin Champagne for DKPittsburghSports.com, by the way, you can listen to this podcast anywhere, but especially on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and don't forget to rate us 5 stars with a positive comment. But I've written about and talked about Justin Champagne all throughout his time with Pitt. And in going over these things, I mean, there was at one point in the beginning of this past sophomore season of his in 2020-2021, where he was Mr. Double-Double. It was like almost every game, you knew that he was going to be that guy. And even with that, you know, when Pitt started to hit their rut in the season, there were parts of his game you were like, okay, he can work on that a little bit more. Okay, he needs to polish this part of his game. Primarily as a ball handler, as an outside shooter. Now, there were games where I think he hit like 3 or 4, maybe even 5 3-pointers at one point, but it wasn't consistent. But it showed that he was working on it. And so when he declared for the NBA draft back in May and started this process and got ready for the combine, I told you he got a double-double in the NBA combine game where they perform against other guys that are in that combine. You know, there's confidence in that, but there's still the question is, where does he rank? Because, and I've written about this for the website as well, when you look at the history of NBA draft pick, remember, this isn't like the NFL or like MLB where there's 20 rounds and the NFL where there's 7 rounds. There's 2 rounds in this thing. And each team only keeps like, what, 12, 13 guys? It's a much smaller pool of guys to have to fight through, and because of that, the talent is much tougher to pierce. If you want to get in the NBA, get picked, and have a career. Now, I'm out here, you know, I've been covering him and I've been seeing him progressing. I think that he has a shot, but I've read a lot of NBA analysts that are just like, I'm not so sure about any team, you know, put it, you know, putting out a draft pick for him when he's a 6'7" guy. He's not really he's not great on the wing, because he doesn't have too many ball handling skills. He's a great rebounder, especially for his size, and he can score when he's around the basket. But the thing is, everybody can score around the basket in the NBA. Unless you're like, you know, the physical dude that's playing underneath. That's my job whenever I play basketball. I can't score, so I just get physical. I just get big. I'm like, hey, man, I'm thick. So deal with it. But for Champagne, that's why he's got to get, you know, develop an outside shot. Because when you're a rebounder and an inside scorer and you have an outside shot, then you're a good role player. I mean, that's something that Cam Johnson, he developed. He can take it to the hub. I mean, if you saw that posterizing dunk he had on P.J. Tucker, oh, my goodness. And then at the same time, he can also step back and hit a bunch of threes for the Suns. That's why he's such an asset. And that's why a lot of people are saying, like, man, this kid could be a future starter and a future star of the league. Justin's got those roads to climb. And when we talked to him on Thursday, he was very candid about that. But he was also candid about how confident he is and his ability to get to the NBA. And in talking about him, and this is what I made the lead for the article I wrote, is that he did say that there's at least one NBA team that's told him he's going to be their pick. And that he's done workouts for already 11 different NBA teams, and they said that's what he's going through now. He said before the combine, he was just living out in LA, working out every day, waking up at 5 in the morning and just doing a whole, like, you know, 13-hour day of just working out and practicing and getting all the skills that he needs. And then he went to the combine. Now the combine's over. He's traveling to all the teams to show them what he's got. And I can tell you that I sat next to several NBA scouts throughout the season who came to see him. So, like, there's a real good chance that he's you know, not overselling this point that people are looking at him. And listen, Ramon Foster wrote a great piece about this before the NFL draft this year and talked about how the draft season in the NFL is the season of lies. I wouldn't doubt that the NBA is the same way. Teams are just trying to feel out who's going to be the best guy that they can invest in for the future of their organization. And all of this is warfare against the other teams and who they know, who they really want to pick. And oftentimes as the athlete, when you're that 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kid, and you're bright-eyed, you're taking in this process for the first time, you're going to be told a lot of different things. And it's going to be difficult to trust what you're told and believe everything. So it's very tough to hold on to those things, but all you can do is believe in yourself. And that's one thing that Justin Champagne definitely does. He has full confidence in himself, and that's why he took this leap. Now, part of also the things is that he also said, hey, injuries were a concern. I wrote about this in my article. He said, I wondered if I came back to school and got hurt, I don't know what would happen. That scared me a little bit, but I realized you can't go through things worrying about injuries. I'm a big believer in putting positivity in the air, and it did play a part in my decision, but at the end of the day, I knew what I wanted. And I said this way back in the season when he got that knee injury, and it was his second knee injury in as many years. And even though he bounced back in like 2 weeks when he was supposed to take like 6 weeks to recover, I was saying, like, that's going to impact his decision, because if he suffers a third knee injury in 3 years, NBA teams are going to look at him and say, huh? And he even said NBA doctors have checked him out, and, you know, they've been asking about those injuries and do they hinder him? Are they nagging? Are there things that he has to watch for the rest of his life and the rest of his career? And he says, no, they're not. And I mean, it showed, because when he came back, he was on fire. But that makes a lot of sense for him to be concerned about that moving forward with his future. And I get that there's a lot of people out there, and I've talked to a lot of you guys in the comments section. I've talked to you a lot of guys at DKPittsburghSports.com. I've talked to you a lot of guys. We had the DK Pittsburgh Sports meetup this past Thursday, and a couple people asked me about Justin Champagne and what I thought about him. I really look at him and I say, hey, I really see this guy, like, he has a chance, but I also understand when people say, I'm not so sure he's going to make it, Chris. The NBA is a tough, tough cookie to crack. Or crumble. However that metaphor works. I guess nut to crack would be the thing there. But Justin Champagne believes in himself, but he also has had the backing of Jeff Capel the entire way. I want to talk about the impact of the program and what Jeff Capel's done with Champagne, as well as things that Justin Champagne has said about the program and the team. We'll do that on the H2P podcast right after this break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the H2P podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, Pitt writer and Steelers writer for DKPittsburghSports.com, breaking things down, continuing our discussion on Justin Champagne after he spoke this past Thursday and his media availability. One thing I do enjoy talking to Justin, because he does give you do get a candid sense when you're hearing from him in these meetings. Like, you know, he was the guy that said Pitt is back after they beat Duke, and, you know, said it a little early because then Pitt wasn't back last season. But he's a guy, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He's gonna tell you all those things, and that I appreciate about him. But one thing he talked about is how Coach Jeff Capel has been supportive of him the entire process. And he said even before he declared for the NBA draft, he said that there was never a sense from Jeff Capel that he was being pressured to stay. And from a Jeff Capel standpoint, you might imagine that he'd have every reason to be selfish and say, Justin, no, don't leave, develop another year, and work that angle to say, hey, man, I need you here. But don't even say that. Say, like, you know what, you need to be here because you got to work on that outside shot. You got to work on developing your ball handling skills. If you're gonna be a surefire draft pick in the NBA, this is what you've got to do. And that's where I'm like, okay, cool. Just Jeff Capel hasn't done the thing to push him that way. According to Jeff said it himself, but Justin has confirmed that in when we talked to him. He's like, yeah, the entire way he just asked me what I wanted to do and what direction I wanted to go. And every time he's given me feedback on what other teams are thinking and what, you know, guys in the NBA, because Jeff Capel does have those connections with all the years that he's been in basketball. It's a very positive sign. It's like Justin Champagne, you know, the best player of the Jeff Capel era. And there wasn't a sense of, hey, stick around, do this. Jeff supported him. And I think that's going to speak a lot for his players. Also, if Justin does get drafted and can even make just a few years of being good in the NBA, I think that will do a lot for guys who see that and think, like, man, Jeff went through the worst year of his career. Five dudes transferred out, and he still was like, hey, Justin, go on ahead, do what you got to do, I'm gonna support you the entire way. I think that stuff resonates, and it also tracks with Jeff Capel's record of being an advocate for student athletes. You know, a lot of people have called him a hypocrite, oh, because you make money off of college sports, so you can't speak on behalf of them and say that they should get paid, because then you support the system. It's like, well, the only way you can change the system is often by getting involved with it, especially in this situation. And Jeff Capel he's not a legislator. He's always a basketball guy. He's a basketball player, and then he became a basketball coach. Now, Jeff Cable didn't write the legislation in any of the states where NIL was posted before the NCAA, you know, did it. But any chance that he got when he talked about it, he promoted. He's like, these athletes deserve a lot more respect for what they go through than what they're given. And I think that resonates with the players he's got on his team and will resonate with recruits that he's trying to bring into the program. Now, back to Justin. One thing I thought was very interesting, we asked him what he thought about, what he thought about his teammates and everything. First of all, I asked him about the NIL situation. I was like, hey, man, like, Kenny Pickett just got his first endorsement deal. What do you think about that? Is there some regret? And he's like, I don't regret going to the NBA, doing this journey because I believe in myself. But, man, he's like, I definitely could have been making some good money if I stayed in school. And he's like, I definitely have thought about that, but there's no looking back and regretting his decision to head to the NBA. Now, granted, some people out there might say you might say different after draft day, but let's see what actually happens. Because if he's a draft pick or if he even gets signed, to a contract after the fact, he'll be making money and he'll be fine. But when he was asked about Pitt basketball specifically, one, he called Femi Udukali his brother, and that I thought was really dope, because one thing I saw throughout the offseason, these guys were on each other's Instagram pages. And in those months that we weren't sure if Champagne would go to the NBA, and I was feeling like he wouldn't, I mean, he was hanging out with Femi in the dorms. They were going places. They were hooping together. They were working out together. They were just chilling together. And I was like, maybe there's a sense that he's going to stick around because these are his boys, and especially Femi. But he's moving on. But one thing that Justin said, he's like, hey, man, I've been sticking around this team. I've been seeing them practice. Some of those new guys they got. Some of those transfer guys they got in the portal, I think that they've impressed him. And when you go back and you look at the transfer guys that they've been able to grab, none of them are superstars. But you get a junior college guy in Chris Payton who has the same sort of build as Justin Champagne and takes the ball to the well. You get Jamarius Burton, who looks like an experienced point guard from Texas Tech that can either take some considerable minutes out of Femi's young hands or even become the assist man on the team. And then you get Oladapo from Oakland. There's guys that they brought in here that I think Champagne was impressed by, at least in these early workouts. And don't forget, they still got Nike Sabande. And John Hugley's coming back. And they've got Mahamadou Guy from Stony Brook. They got a presence. They've got guys that are going to compete this year. And I think Justin Champagne knows it. But again, I think a lot of what drove this was, A, he had a really good season with the double-doubles. Could he have a better season? Yes. But he was all first-team ACC. And he had those injuries that with his knees that I think that were concerning him. And what's interesting is also his twin brother, Julian, at St. John's is staying in school, which was another thing that I thought might drive him to stick around because Pitt plays St. John's next year. So it was going to be the twins against each other. But again, that's why I think this was about his injuries, about thinking, hey, let's get this settled up. You don't want to blow your chance on having a career of being an NBA player and making millions of dollars in college and potentially getting a third injury that's going to hinder your career or prevent it from even happening in the first place. But man, if Pitt basketball, If he can get drafted, even if he's drafted at the end of the second round, who cares? If he's just drafted, that's a win. They haven't had a guy make the NBA from the team since the year before Kevin Stallings was there. I believe that was Jamel Artis. Might be mixing up my years. Might be Michael. That's the problem. I mix sometimes. I mix up all my years when it comes to the Jamie Dixon to the Kevin Stallings years. But the bottom line is that Pitt, Pitt needs to, part of how Pitt's going to need to win the future recruiting wars is by showing that when you come to Pitt, you can produce and make it to the NBA, and more guys will see that. And when they see how it happens, when they see that Jeff Capel's supporting the players, even outside of his own personal interests, when it comes to, hey, you know what, I really need this team to compete. I need this team to, I need you to stick around one more year because it would benefit us. Also, yeah, it was Jamel Artis and Cameron Johnson. Those are the last guys. Actually, yeah, because Michael Young didn't make it to the NBA. But those are the last NBA guys they've had on the on a Pitt roster, and that was the 2016-2017 season. That's how long it's been. But if Champagne can change all that, it would be a huge boost to what Pitt's trying to do and trying to build here and what Jeff Capel's trying to put together. And then you're going to have all these four-star guys, these three-star guys that are here. It's something to remember. Justin Champagne was a two-star player when he came to Pitt. Basketball is a little bit tougher to grade on these star positions, on these star rankings that you see on 24/7 and Rivals. But still, when you have all these guys that have the potential here, if a few of them hit over the next few years, they go to the NBA and maybe they help Pitt do better in the ACC and maybe win a couple conference tournament games, maybe make a big dance once in a while, that'll change the tone of the program by a lot. So that's why in the next couple weeks when the NBA draft is going down, if you're a Pitt basketball fan, watch closely in that second round to see if Justin Champagne goes somewhere. And if he does, I think that's a big win for the program and a good step in the right direction. I'm Chris Carter here on the H2P Podcast. Thanks so much for listening on this Sunday. Remember to download our podcast platform from Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and anywhere podcasts are hosted. Remember to rate us 5 stars, the positive comment. That really helps out the network, not just this show, but every show on the network. DK's going to be back with his daily shots on Monday, breaking all things down in the professional sports world. Again, I'm Chris Carter. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. I'll be talking at y'all real soon.